Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I know who is here today, and I know who's not here today, Austin City Limits. Joe, where's Joe? Does anyone know Joe? Where's Joe?
Where'd he go? I have no idea where he went. He was working today, actually. Until he sent me clips last night.
Oh, good. We'll use them today at his expense. He has some producing quality skills there.
And then he never followed up with me this morning. So I was like, I guess he actually is off.
Well, he told me he was off, so I guess he's off. And I'm not alone here today. In addition to Austin, it is time for Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy on a Thursday. It's a Kennedy Thursday. And this is an interesting little time here, Tyler, because the Penguins, through 19 games, have shown that they're legit, like they're a playoff-contending team. 3 points out of four in Sweden. And it looks like they have a totally different attitude on the ice with some of these guys, how they're existing, the veterans, the young players. One's bringing out the best of the other and vice versa. So you have to be encouraged by what you've seen so far, right? 10-5-4.
Yeah, I think they're playing really well, and especially after the first Nashville game in Sweden, right? They lost in OT. You can see maybe last year's team would come out flat and not have a good game again. You know, I felt like it was the new coach, the new culture in the room that really shows some energy and some fight that, hey, we still have a good team, and they came out and played so well. I think that was a big confidence booster for me to believe even more in the Penguins, the way they came out after a couple games that they struggled and then kind of a heartbreaker in OT. So that was huge. And, you know, I have some of the sources, Bob, and one guy said in the room, around the room, the feeling, the excitement is so different from last year. He said last year, Sully was kind of like a grumpy, expecting guys to do certain things and just expecting it because they played in the NHL, and the communication wasn't always there. And you can see it with some of the clips from Carlson. I think Carlson butted heads with them quite a bit. He said, Muse, it's a completely different approach. He says everyone has a voice. Everyone's got an opinion, and he's so good in explaining what he wants and understanding what they want to give back and putting guys in the right situation. If you ever told me at the beginning of the year that Carlson would be playing with Witherspoon and they would be lights out together, I would have fell off my chair. But Muse is so good at finding the chemistry, so good at adapting, and everything you heard about him, how he's so good at developing players, making guys get the most out of each guy, staying in the extra, working hard. It's really coming to fruition pretty quickly here with the Penguins, and that's how they're getting success. Everyone feels comfortable. Everyone's playing to their strengths, and that's why they're having success. And again, what was the biggest thing Sully had a problem with was giving younger guys opportunities, right? He rode his horses.
But he didn't, way back in the first Stanley Cup that they won, he did do that. Those guys came up from Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, and then something changed along the way.
It almost feels like when a guy wins, he loses what got him there, right? He loses, like, giving guys opportunity, playing a certain way because he's like, well, I just won back-to-back, and I have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin on the team. And when you really look at the big picture, it's always the top two lines cancel each other out. It's your depth guys that push you over. And when you add guys like Rust, Gensel, those are the guys that really push them over the top. Yeah, Sidney Crosby, Malkin, they're always going to be the big dogs, the guys that, you know, are your core, but it's the supporting cast that push you to the next level. And I feel when you win, even this happened to Dan Bylsma, right? The biggest thing was Dan rode the same guys through his whole career here. You know, again, Malkin, Crosby, even the veteran guys like Craig Adams, he always gave them first chance. And then when things weren't going, he always went back to the old watering hole, and it eventually cost him his job. And just like Sully, it cost him his job, not adapting, not getting the new blood. Because I feel people are a lot better at accepting a loss when you see different guys on the ice and seeing that they're trying something new instead of, oh, all right, we got the same power play out there that hasn't scored in 15, 20 games. You know, that's a problem for a lot of people. But this Muse, you got to give them credit. And from what I'm hearing is they're practicing that penalty shootout a lot more. And that shows that he's going back to the drawing board. He's assessing his team, and he's working on what needs to get better. And, you know, those are some of the things that I think – why Kyle Dubas brought him in. He's a guy that's willing to adapt, a guy that's so good at reading the room and getting the most out of players.
And I think you see that too in the division of labor when you see minutes on the ice. I've noticed in the last few that Crosby's minutes are lowered, not by a lot, but they're lowered. Malkin lowered, Letang lowered. Other guys are getting opportunities. Fourth line guys are being out there more than just 4 minutes a game. They're out there for 10 minutes a game. And I think it makes a big difference. Off the Top today is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. A rundown of what we have today. Of course, we start with Tyler Kennedy every Thursday. And then it's Chris Hokeybro 76 will be here. After that, do we have a City Limits Austin Express?
We'll have a Limitless Express later on.
Okay,
yes,
okay, that's
Bob.
Coming up later. We have your calls eventually at 412-928-9370. Also, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. All right, one of the things that's interesting to me, we've seen the insertion of Ben Kindle, and they certainly believe in him. They've put him on the top line. They put him on the power play. He has that hockey IQ, Tyler, that you would think, at 18, most guys don't develop yet, but he has it, and he's more than willing and able to play with Sidney Crosby, which is not easy for those who don't know how to do it. But Harrison Brunick now has been scratched for I don't know how many games in a row. He's reached the limit of 9. Yeah. And the next time he sets foot on a game in the NHL, he has to be here, and then the contract triggers. I think they're trying to kind of navigate this as they go, but he hasn't played, which tells me they don't want to send him back to juniors. So what's next? Is there a chance he could play in a conditioning program in the American Hockey League, World Juniors, anything that would go against better competition? Or do you think they just keep him here and play him, you know, tomorrow night against the Wild?
Well, I think they are going to send him down on a conditioning stint. I guess there's a little loophole where they can send him down. I think it's 2 weeks. And honestly, you go down in the AHL for 2 weeks, you can play 8 games because they cram those games in like crazy. But that's something he needs to play. He needs to get in a couple games. Does he have to play all 82 games in the NHL? No. But he does. I would think if you're going to keep him up, you would expect him to play at least half because you're going to burn a year on his contract. You're going to need to at least get his feet wet by playing half the games. And when you're a young guy and they put you in the stands, when you watch the game and you watch what the Carlsons, the Letangs, what they do out there, you got a bird's eye view of how they handle certain situations, and then you see them in practice. I think it's so beneficial for him to stay up here and learn from those guys and be around and jump into a couple games and see it. Because when you see Muse, when you hear Muse talk about him, they have a game plan. They know exactly what he's doing. Because if they didn't think he was ready to take the next step, he'd be back last month. So he's definitely staying up. Because if he isn't and they send him back to Drew, I think it's you just wasted a month of sitting him around. You know, it's useless. The young guy needs to play. So I think they have a plan. I think he can go and play World Juniors where he's going to cram in a bunch of games too. But if he goes to World Juniors with only like 10 games, maybe 15 games, you're kind of hurting him, you know, because you're playing against other junior players that have 40 games under their belt. They're already mid-season form. And you talk about hockey shape and all that. Like, you can't play one game a week and expect to feel comfortable. That's the only thing. And I think once he goes down, plays those games, when he comes back up, they are really going to have to try to get him into some games, because he can't do that. That's not fair to him. That's not fair to anyone, because it's not easy getting a rhythm. You need to get in rhythms in the NHL by playing. And sitting in the stand, yes, it's great, and he's learning, and it's better than junior, but he needs to get time on the ice against NHL forwards, NHL speed, to make sure that years coming, that this year he got something out of it, and then instead of just burning the contract up.
Yeah, I think that is a little bit of a dilemma, because they want to get him some action, but I think they have made up their mind. It's pretty clear he ain't going back to his junior team. They feel he's beyond that, so we'll see what it means. Even if he does play, as you suggest, you know, game here, off one night, then give him two in a row, then give him an off. I mean, you can navigate that all the way through. It's interesting when you look here at the Penguins, and Evgeny Malkin leads them with 23 points in 19 games. Right, he's a plus five. He's doing everything you would expect a guy like him to do 5 years ago. You know, right. He's putting up early season numbers, like he doesn't want to stop playing. And that's always an interesting question, because most people assume, Tyler, that he came here, played this year, you know, and 1 year left on a contract, what would they do? Let's play a little hypothetical game. Let's say he leads them in scoring all the way through. He's more than a point a game. Right now he's a plus five player. He's another guy who's bought in a little bit more to the system than what he's done before. What do they do with him? Yeah. Assuming he wants to stay more here.
Well, I think it's up how he finishes the year, but he's going to have, I'm hearing he's having a meeting with Kyle Dubas over the Olympic break. And that's going to be a big telling tale of what happens, because I think right now, if he's always had very good starts to the year. Last year, his first 2 months, he was very good. It's how much energy can Gino sustain throughout the whole year. Again, he always starts off hot and then he kind of drifts off and, you know, he cools off quite a bit. But I think for him, I think he knows if he's going to play or not next year. And I think he doesn't want to end on maybe a note that it's like, hey, I only put up 10 goals. I wasn't a factor the last year. I think Gino's a very, very competitive guy, competitive player. He's always going to put everything he has. Doesn't matter if it's his first year or last year. But when you're putting up the numbers and you see how he's playing, it feels like he's got that spark back that we haven't seen since the first month of last year. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about ice time and you talk about how Muse is distributing it a lot more throughout the lineup, that saves guys like Malkin for the January, February, March, April schedule. And that's what makes him, a great coach. So I think Gino, it's very in the air. And what I think, if East continues to have a good year and he's in the top five in points, how much do you pay him if he wants to come back?
Well, how would you answer that? Because he's making, what, $6 million or so this year? Last year of it? To me, if he wants to come back, he's age 40 now. I would go year to year if he'd be agreeable to that. So it'd have to be a one-year deal. I would keep him in that same range.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd sign him to a one-year deal. I think Malkin would probably want a one-year deal. And I if you can get Gino, you know, a second-line center that's going to put up 15 to 20 goals, and you're only paying him 5.5, that creates so much room on the other guys you can spend money on. And the only thing that scares me, some with these Russian guys, they always want to go back and play in Russia for 1 year. And is Gino playing to play 1 year in Russia? Because that's what Ovi's saying right now. He goes, I would like to play a couple games back in Russia once I retire from the NHL. And is that going to be the same as Malkin? I don't know. But it seems like those two take very similar paths. You know, imagine those two teaming up, playing for a Russian team, like that would build up Russian hockey like crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys are valued over there in a big way. I mean, that's why Jager's still playing at age 53 in the Czech Republic, you know, because they love him.
Yeah, and that's why when you go back to, is it good for the NHL to have a guy like Ovechkin break Gretzky's record? Is it helping Russian hockey or is it helping the NHL? You know, because he's building this name and then he goes back and then he's starting to build, look what I did, now I'm coming back, I want everyone to get involved in hockey. You know, Gretzky's been around in the game, he's still in the game, and he's still promoting and building the game. So I'm very interested to see what their plan is for Malkin, what his plan is, because I think they're going to hold it pretty close to their chest. I don't even think Gino's probably telling the Penguins what his real end game plan is, because he's going to see how this year plays out. But it seems like all these guys, they enjoy playing for Muse. They enjoy this new culture, this new energy that we haven't had in the Pittsburgh organization in a couple years, right? Because we've been out the last 2 to 3 years. We haven't made playoffs. Like, talk about draining. Now it's like, wow, we got a pretty good team. Like, we're playing to our strengths. We're having fun. We're putting up points. Guys are getting the points they should. We have a couple young guys that are coming to the rink smiling every day. That's probably a big change for some of those veteran guys.
No question about it. Here's the other thing I mentioned about the ice time for players. So I'm looking and comparing these numbers. Evgeny Malkin is averaging 17 minutes a game. Last year it was above that. This time it was 19. Sidney Crosby, 19 minutes a game. There are games he's gone way over that, you know, when they need him to do. And I guess power plays will factor in. But if you look at a guy like Parker Wotherspoon, 21 minutes a game. Ryan Shea, 20 minutes a game. Those guys are logging as much ice time as Carlson and Letang. If you go down the fourth lines, guys like Connor Dewar, 14 minutes. Blake Lizotte, 14 minutes. Achari, 13 minutes. These are all guys who get a lot more ice time here, and I think that does have. I mean, you would know. Yeah. You guys have one of the best third lines.
Right.
You, Stahl, and Cook. You got a lot of minutes, I'm sure, during that time. Even the fourth line. The more you can do that, I think it has a positive effect on everyone above the fourth and third lines.
100%. Because when you're a top-heavy team, you look at the Oilers, right?
Yeah.
They ran out of steam. And when I was playing, as a third liner and I was getting 13 to 16 minutes, like I was involved in a game. You know, you were sweating like it's crazy, but you were actively pretty involved in the team. When you get under 10 minutes, Bob, you're going on the ice not sweating and you're leaving the game not sweating. Like, it's hard to be involved because you're taking 5 to 10 minutes in between each shifts, and it's like you don't get – it's hard to keep the emotion in the game. That's why – you see a lot of third and fourth line guys chirping from the bench, trying to knock guys over coming off the ice because they're trying to find that emotion because they've just been sitting on the bench. But when you spread it out and you show guys, hey, I believe you can handle more minutes, it helps everyone. It helps the guys that are getting more minutes with the confidence. Like, hey, coach believes that I deserve more minutes. He's giving me more minutes. It shows a respect both ways, but it shows confidence that your coach likes you and he believes in you. And then for the veteran guys, I think it takes less pressure off them. Like last year when only Sid's line was playing, like Sid, I always felt like his line knew they had to put up so many points because we weren't getting anything from the bottom six last year. Now I feel he's going in that the top two lines are going in saying, hey, if we don't get points, our third and fourth line are starting to pull the rope and starting to produce. And again, that third and fourth line, the fourth line's been great playing fourth line minutes, which means they're grinding teams down. They're not turning pucks over. They're playing exactly how your fourth line would do. The third line's, again, putting up points. It's chemistry, right? When you put a team get together and you think of the Washington Capitals and all that stuff, when you put guys that play well together, you don't need the best team. Right, you don't need the most skilled team. You need guys that have good chemistry, and the Penguins have started to find that. Obviously, injuries are throwing a little bit of a ripple in the lineup, but I think once they get going again and they find that chemistry, which I don't think is going to be easy, but that's what makes them a strong team. Just coming, they're rolling lines, they're keeping guys fresh. Because Bob, after Christmas, like when I think of the year, like right now we're in the appetizer, just finished the appetizer, the salad's coming. You know, you still feel good. You're still trying to judge what the team is. After Christmas is when you get the steak and you get your potato, the big meat of the year. Where kind of year, what kind of team do you have? Is it a team that we got a lucky start, or is it a team that we can make a little bit of a push here? So we still have a lot of time, but right now it looks so good. The chemistry's there, the guys are playing, and they're enjoying it. Yeah. Right? Like it seems like they're enjoying going to the rink. I don't think the Penguins have posted on Instagram a guy not smiling at the rink.
Yeah.
That's a lot different.
And I think the young guys bring a lot of that out of the old guys. Yeah. I think they get energized seeing, oh, I remember when I was your age, Ben Kindle, and all this kind of stuff. So definitely, so when does the dessert get served there? Is that playoffs? Is that what that is? Or I mean, you have the steak. We haven't even gotten to the salad. So if we haven't gotten to the salad, steak will be maybe there's a surf and turf on the other, you know, well, and then you take it to a different level.
Well, usually if the steak and the entree aren't great, you don't really order dessert because, you know, your expectations are pretty low, right?
Well, I hope they get to after dinner drink status. That would be well into the playoffs.
That's a bonus.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know, Austin, if you saw Tyler's daughter is like a well-decorated dancer.
I did not know that.
Oh, my goodness. Because I know my granddaughters dance, and they see her, and it's like, wow. So where does she get the dancing talent and the ability to do ballet and all this stuff? Because I know Brandy was pretty talented in that department. You have to be proud of what she's accomplished.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. She dances at Thomas, and she loves her friends there. It's like it's like a team, right? But my daughter is a performer. My wife was, you know, an actress, and she did a bunch of performing, and she gets so much of that. And my wife gives her a lot of tips of literally just like the little like expressions on stage and all that stuff. Cause I can never do that, but my daughter thoroughly enjoys, you know, putting on these little plays, these dances. And last week she had like a little competition or whatever, and she got like, you know, best performer or whatever. But my wife always says like she's so good at performing and entertaining, because if you see her at home, Bob, she's always going into character. She's always, you know, she's either mimicking the Kardashians or whatever, and
you better watch that.
Yeah,
I know. Take that too far.
Yeah, but just the way they speak and, you know, they talk crazy and all that stuff. But again, I'm definitely proud of her. It's so nice to kind of sit back and not really know what's going on, and just see her work hard at something, you know. And I think it gives me a little relief because my son's in hockey, and I'm hard on him, and I might be too hard on him. So when I go to see her, it reminds me to take a step back and let them chase their dreams instead of getting too much involved.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of parents, you know, they want it more than their kids, and it kind of gets them nowhere.
No, I know you may influence them to some degree, but then it's up to them to figure out where they're going. And she's certainly on her way to some big things, it looks like. So congrats on that. Hey, I want to tell you the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, which is providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. When we come back, I want to get your take, Tyler, on the injury to Charlie McAvoy. He got hit in the face with a puck, and he needs surgery now. I want to take you back to your days, some of the injuries you may have sustained, and I remember Crosby taking one to the chops and what had to happen there.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Tyler Thursday. Tyler Kennedy in the house here. Joe is not here today. We don't know where Joe is. And Austin, it's your job to find out where he is. Is he playing golf somewhere, do you think?
You know, that really is a possibility. There's a rumor going around that, TK, you are playing golf with Crowley today. Is that true?
No, it's not true. I was getting the guys going yesterday. They're trying to start something. Me and Crowley already have something going on. I'm trying to put the fire out. These guys are trying to get it going. So I just said I was golfing with them today. But no.
But no, you're not. Just to settle the...
Yeah.
Settle everything down, right?
Still not right what he said, but...
I'm going to play a little quiz with you, and I want you to answer these from what you think. Shooting percentages, the best on the Penguins. Who's number one?
Who? Brazo?
Brazo's up there, but he's not number one. He's right behind number one, who belongs to Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
Almost 29% shooting. He has 12 goals. He's very efficient with his shots. Brazo is number two. Who would be number three?
Wow. Kindle?
No. He's still struggling in that department. 11%. Anthony Mantha, wow. 23%. He's been a good find for them. He's a plus 10. He's doing everything that you would expect. Like 4 or 5 years ago when he was a perennial 25-goal scorer. So maybe he'll return to that right now. One of the other things, Tyler, that we should talk about is what they do with his goaltending situation because, you know, Sergei Mereshov looked good in this last game. For whatever reason, Nashville's not a good team, but they have, like, big-name players on from Marchessault to Stamkos and O'Reilly and all these guys, but they're just not playing well. But he played well in that game. They made life a little easier, only 21 shots on goal allowed. And that's another thing that Dan Muse's team is different. They're reducing the amount of activity goalies have to, and which may explain why Tristan Jarry's played well. And for that matter, Shelov's. So what do they do when they're all healthy? Because Jarry's on his way back, it looks like.
Well, I think right now, like, you literally have to see him more. We have to get him in as many games before Jarry gets better. Jarry's probably a week or two out. Like, I would think you already know what Arthur's all about. He's good goalie. Mereshov has to get more than two games in before you send him back down. I think you come back with him, especially against a good team like Minnesota. I think he's going to be challenged. I think there's going to be a lot more than 21 shots. I think Mereshov probably is feeling pretty confident. I think you throw him back in. And I think if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm telling Jarry to take your time. Take your time so you come back, you feel 100. Don't rush back because right now we need to see Mereshov in a couple more games to make a decision. That's a tough one because if he does play another two or three games and he's lights out and he looks like he's ready, you have to keep him up. You have to decide on those other two. He's a future. He's just showing you that he's ready. I think it would be a decision of the other two, not Mereshov.
But I think Shelov is playing very well, and he's not going anywhere because Dubas acquired him, so that's one of his acquisitions. Jarry was not, although he did give him the extension.
Right.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with having three healthy goalies going at it. Competition brings out the best, and then if somebody out there has an injury problem, then that's where you dangle Jarry a little bit in and see what you can get, but... I think it's a pleasant problem to have. It's much better than thinking the opposite of it. Nobody's playing well, and what do we got to do here?
Right. No, I think it's a problem we haven't had in years. You know, like we're looking like who do we play?
Cause and Blomqvist is still in the future plans. He got hurt, and I derailed him a little bit. But you know, so all of a sudden they have some depth there.
And I think Jarry's playing good enough for another team to take a chance on him. Right.
Especially at a contract that's not that bad in terms of. How much per year? It's like $5 million. Yeah. I mean, some of these goalies are making $10, $11, $12 million dollars.
And it's not going down, right? It's the prices are going up for a real number one. They're going to 10, 12. Who's the guy that's up? Shishkin?
No, he just signed. It's Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky.
They signed everyone in Florida but him.
And
he's been their backstop in two Stanley Cups.
And he was the guy that signed that big contract. And everyone was like, oh, my God, we have a goalie making over 10. Like, how? And he was like, no, I'm part of that star core. Like, I should be paid like a star core guy, you know. So he is going to get paid a ton. But I think, you know, the more I think of it, I probably would send back Mirashov and try to get Jari to keep playing well, and I'd be trying to sell him like crazy.
Yeah, because you never know when an injury is going to occur to a right. goaltender.
And there's a lot of teams that are like Edmonton Oilers.
Oh.
You would think that.
That's their problem. I think, I don't know about you, but I think that's why Connor McDavid signed a short-term deal. Because he wants to see what they do in goal. It's been their Achilles heel on these playoff runs.
Yeah, like last year, their goalie, I'm not saying he lost the game in the finals, but he wasn't rock solid. Like, if they didn't have Connor McDavid and Draisaitl on that team producing at that pace, their back end from the defense to the goaltending might be the bottom five in the NHL at defensive game. And it starts with the goalie. Like, talk about a team that's...
Last night they lost 7-4 at Washington.
It's... You need a stud goalie. You need a goalie that's going to steal games. The Penguins, the last 2 years, like, they've been... They've lost how many games on first shot, first goal? Like, talk about taking the wins out of the sails. Like, you don't win like that. You lose a good portion of games because the other team perks up right away. They feel good, and you don't. So... I think you're going to start seeing goalies get overpaid too. And I would not be surprised if they do trade Jari if he keeps performing at the clip he is. But again, I would like to see more of Mirashov.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't know how that plays out. I know that Jari's not ready yet, so that gives him another week or 2 weeks to get this thing rolling and see where he... But Chilovs, don't underestimate him. He's 24 years old, and I think the guy has... I've always liked him, watching him... Mm-hmm. in Vancouver with the limited times he was on the ice. So it's interesting now. I want to look at these standings. This Colorado is just pulling out crazy numbers. 13-1 with 5 overtime losses. 31 points in 19 games. When I look at the Eastern Conference, I just want to get your take about who's a contender, who's a pretender. I'm going to run down the list, and you tell me. We're a quarter of the way through this, so you can make a little bit of an assumption. Carolina Hurricanes are 4 points better than the Penguins. I think we would agree they are contenders, right? Or you're going to say no?
I think pretenders, because
you think they're a pretender.
I think they're the best regular season team, but then when the playoff comes and it's a different game in the playoffs, they don't have the toughness. They've never had the toughness from when I was playing them. I knew all we had to do was rough up the game and they would shut the door. You know, they would fold, and it has not changed. What happened in playoffs last year? Florida. Brad Marchand running around scared half their top guys, series over. Exact same thing this year.
All right. New Jersey Devils are just ahead of the Penguins also. That's a team that's sort of that follows the Hurricanes. You know, I see sometimes they have the success in the regular season, but they haven't made it turn into anything in the postseason. Are they pretender or contender?
Pretender. I think they're better than Carolina in the playoffs because they have a toughness factor to them. They have a Dylan. They have some guys that bring some heat, but it's insane how Hughes keeps getting hurt. Like, not just like hurt on the ice, like hurt away from the rink, which is like insane. And that's just being young and dumb, really. Like, that is not taking your job serious. I know it's a freak accident, but you don't see any of the other stars like McKinnon and those guys getting cut at a team dinner, you know? So I think they're a pretender too.
They brought in Timo Meier a few years ago for a playoff run.
Yep.
He's still there, but to me, he doesn't do, I think, what they thought he would do to them. You know, he hasn't taken them into a different level. It's Hughes and who is it? Dawson Mercer and Bratt.
Right. Like, when you think of playoff players, you know, when I think of guys I'd pick up to make a push in playoffs, like, I'm thinking guys like Brad Marchand. You know, guys that are, like, have multiple ways to win games. Guys that are willing to maybe grab someone and, like, shake them up a little bit, you know, stir it up a little bit. Guys like that. Those guys, like, I don't think, like, they are going to be that kind of guy. If they don't play that high skill game and win on that, there's no other way to win the hockey game. And that's why a lot of these teams are struggling. You know, a lot of the teams can't get over the hump because they don't have guys that can play more than one way. You talk to any Stanley Cup team, from the Florida Panthers to the Boston Bruins, to us, to Tampa Bay Lightning, every guy always said, how do you want to play? And we can play that style. If you want to rough it up, we're going to rough it up, and we got guys. If you want to play a skill game, they have the skill. And when you can do that, you can dictate what makes you a better team than the other team. If you know they have more toughness than skill, you're going to play a more high-end skill and make them pay on the power play. If you have, you know, a softer team, if you know the other team's softer, you go from playing a real skill team or a real skill approach to a physical, wear them down, make them play a game they don't want to play.
All right, so Hurricanes pretender, Devils pretender. That brings us to the Penguins, who are right behind both of those teams. Contender or pretender, or you can say too soon to tell, but edging one way or the other. I think they're a contender, not for Stanley Cup, but to do some damage in the playoffs. I've said that from the beginning.
I think so, too. I think they're a contender just from the veteran guys that have won. When you have guys that get in the playoffs and have been there, have been in the big games, they know how to win.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So they are the real deal. They are not pretenders.
They are contenders. All right. Islanders, 11-7-2. Oh. Over the years, they've been pretending. A lot of people thought they had the kind of team. Patrick Waugh goes off behind the bench all the time. That guy's an emotional spark plug or a loose cannon, however you want to describe him. What are they?
Pretenders. They don't have the high-end skill to – they don't have enough scoring power to win games.
Capitals.
Oh, they might not make playoffs. They're pretenders.
So far, everyone is a pretender except the Penguins. Blue Jackets.
Pretenders. They don't have enough scoring power. They don't have a deep enough team. They're on their way, though. They're trending in the right direction. In a couple years, they will be very dangerous. But right now, they're still not there.
The Rangers with Mike Sullivan are next to last. The Flyers are last with Rick Tocchet. So Rangers, Flyers. Too soon? I still think the Rangers, even though I don't predict they're going to win anything significant in the postseason, I think they got enough veteran people on that team. They should be able to claw back into this, shouldn't they, or not? They have a goaltender, too, who's good.
Yeah. I think they have enough guys that have been in the playoffs. I think if something clicks, something changes in that dressing room where they learn to play a different way, I think they can cause some damage in the playoffs. I believe in them.
And Flyers. Not yet. I don't think they're there yet.
No, they have a hardworking team, but they don't. When you look at their top two lines, they're not going to make you pay. When you play against other teams' top two lines, and they're not deep enough, like, they're pretenders.
All right, I'm going to ask you about Charlie McAvoy. Those of you who haven't seen it, Austin, did you see him take a puck to the face? It reminded me of Sidney Crosby when he got hit in the face as well. And Crosby had all sorts of dental surgery. Now he's going to get surgery. Did you see it?
I did not.
Okay, you should look for it. It's
should I?
Well, it's not as you're not going to see blood everywhere, but you see where it hits him. So, I mean, Tyler, what is the worst injury? I'm sure you've been hit in the face, probably with sticks, pucks, everything else. And take me back to Sidney Crosby when he had to go through all that, because I mean, he had to miss some time, but he still goes to the net. I find it very interesting. Like when baseball players are at the plate, some of them get hit in the head and are not able to return just psychologically because they can't step back in there the next time. Crosby still goes to those dirty areas, and he's in there regardless of what has happened to him in the past. What's the worst one of those you've ever had? Did you lose teeth, too, in the process?
Yeah, like I think every hockey player's lost teeth and all that. Probably the one, honestly, the one that ruined my career and just kind of not blackballed me, but put me behind the blackball. I blew out my back. I hurt some disc. I was doing in San Jose. I was doing some, you know, some high knee jumps over some barriers, and when I landed too stiff, and my back blew out, and I couldn't walk. And so I went to a chiropractor in San Jose. I just found some random guy, and I was like, dude, I think my something's out. I didn't know because I was like injury prone there. I didn't want to talk to the doctors, but he cracked me and it made it so much worse. And I was out 3 months. Wow. And I couldn't.
Wait a minute, you didn't go to the team doctor?
No, it's not like you think, because once you start going to them too much, the first thing the team doctor does, guess what he does? He goes and talks to the coach. And as soon as the coach is like, oh, he's hurt again, he tells the GM, and you get like a bad name. You know, you don't want to be that.
Well, what happens if he finds that you on your own went to a chiropractor and he hurt you worse?
I know. And believe me, I made some mistakes, but I should have just took the time off. But that was the worst. I was really struggling to walk. And so we had a pregame skate in San Jose. We were flying up to Vancouver. And I didn't even get through pregame skate. And I was just like, I think I'm through my back. I just need a rest. They're like, okay, well, you're still playing tonight. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I played in Vancouver. I didn't break a stride, Bob. When I say I was just dishing the puck, I was barely moving, didn't hit anyone. And then the next day I had to come clean. And guys, like, I can't do this. I have no power in my legs. So they sent me to the doctor, and they, you know, the nerves and everything were all like messed up. I think when I was 28, and they said I had like a 45-year-old to a 50-year-old back at 25, just from the wear and tear. And I just, from then on, it was always an issue. My warm up was longer. Warming up my back and my hips was longer than the practice. And that's when I knew, okay, it's coming to an end, you know. And I would come back to my apartment, and I'd be walking sideways. And Brandon's like, "Oh, it's out again." And I'm like, "I know, I can't do this anymore." Because I had Cookie at the time. I couldn't pick up my kid, and it's not so much like the actual pain, but it's like that it just wears on you so emotional.
You start favoring other parts of your body, I bet, too, right?
But it's the mental stress of every day worrying about if your back is going to go out, it was almost like too much. Like, I was like, I need to talk to someone because that's all I think about. I'm so sick of warming up for an hour for a 25-minute practice. This is insane. And I did everything. I was acupuncture, massage, cold tub, hot tub, and I just needed a rest, you know, and I remember it took me 14 months after I retired to actually wake up and like feel normal, like not hurt in the morning. Yeah, it sucked. And it wasn't like I lost a tooth or whatever, you know. I lost teeth, and it's kind of like, you know, the pain is quick and, you know, you get over it pretty quick. But this was just like that knife in your back every day. And if you've had any kind of back problems or anything, every time you take a step with that foot, it gets a little, it's just a reminder. And that sucked. And, you know, but when you see that Charlie McElroy, like, he's went through a lot of injuries. Like, even last year when he broke his arm or shoulder, whatever.
I mean, he's fearless also. He goes to areas. He's a smaller guy, but man, he's very willing to get engaged. Yeah. You mentioned those backs. That was one of the things. I think if Mario Lemieux didn't have those back problems, he might've been right up there at the top of every list. Because that just makes it impossible. Oh. There was a time when he was out in L.A., I think it was, very early in his career, and the Penguins needed to win their final game against Buffalo, and he came back under an assumed name. No one knew where he was, and he showed up to play in that game. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was like number two star and number one star.
Yeah.
And they lost in overtime. I still remember a goal by Uwe Krupp. Yeah. I remember looking at – we were there, and I'm saying, of all people, Uwe Krupp is going to keep the Penguins out of the playoffs. But Mario came all the way back, even despite all that pain that he had to be going through. So I hope it's better. I hope you're not golfing. At least it has to be better, right?
I'm better. I again, I, I still take care of it though. Like I still have to stretch. I get massages every week just to stay mobile. Obviously I'm on the ice with training, but you know, when you think of guys that go to the hard areas, like there's different toughness in the NHL. There's toughness like fighting guys, and there's a different toughness where some guys that don't fight won't go there. It's going to the areas like Sidney Crosby does when a puck is going 100 miles an hour and you're trying to get your stick in front of it, which usually gets deflected and you have no idea. Like just think of how many pucks Sidney Crosby deflects near the net. Oh, it's incredible. Insane.
Like, and also jump over. I've seen him stand in front of a goalie with his back to the blue line, and he can sense a shot's coming, jump up, and it goes right. I mean, he's incredible. Well, I wish you well with that, and I know you have a lot of kids to pick up, so that's going to keep you going. Tyler, always appreciate the time, man. Yeah. Thanks.
It's always fun, Bob. It goes by quick.
Yeah, next week we have a lot to talk about. Two games this weekend and another one next Wednesday night when Buffalo comes to town. So,
well, next week's Thanksgiving, Bob. Will you be here?
Oh, that's right.
I won't be here, and I don't think TK will be here.
I'm going to be alone.
Will you be here on Thanksgiving? Joe will be here.
Is he?
He will.
He will.
Yes.
But I can't be here. It's Thanksgiving. Why is he here?
I'll be in the Turkey Bowl. Ooh. Yeah, Turkey Bowl. Turkey Bowl 8, I think.
How do you like your turkey, by the way? Do you get, like, have you ever tried deep fried?
Once, actually, yes.
You liked it?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. A lot of grease there. You have to watch. Yeah. Set the house on fire. How about you, Tyler? What's your favorite one? And do you like stuffing better than all the other stuff that comes with it? Because I'm a big stuffing person. I'm not a big into beets or cranberries
or neither.
That kind of stuff. I just don't like it.
I like gravy, potatoes, stuffing, and maybe a little bit of turkey. But turkey, out of those, it's like last. Maybe I'm getting the wrong turkey. Maybe it's too dry sometimes. But I love gravy and mashed potatoes and stuffing. I think that's the top.
My favorite dessert?
Ooh, pie.
Yeah, but there's a million pies. Apple pie. You have to be specific.
I love apple pie with ice cream.
Oh, there you go.
Pumpkin pie.
Oh,
is elite.
Oh. No way.
No, you don't like pumpkin pie?
No, I don't like pumpkin anything. Pumpkin lattes, pumpkin this, pumpkin that. It's just not.
It's the only pumpkin that I like, pumpkin pie. Never. And it's very good.
Well, I like any kind of berry pie, so. So Joe's going to be here. It's going to make me think about that next Thursday, and then we'll make Tyler feel bad if he's not even going to be here. It's only an hour, Tyler. Yeah, Your wife can't possibly be upset with you. Maybe your best asset is to get out of her way.
Yeah.
That's how I feel sometimes.
I try.
Tyler Kennedy, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.